Here we are again. Sunday morning, when we come together voluntarily to renew our minds, to feed our spirits, and to open ourselves to a place of transformation by which we can change the world. Let us make this place and this time sacred by bringing our full hearts, our full minds, and our full spirits to this place with love for each other and for the world. It's at this point in the center of our service here that we invite you to become centered yourselves, to join us either in a moment of silence and reflection and prayer or meditation, to light candles placed here by the windows of hope, of regret or sorrow, of anticipation for a better day or celebration of this one. Please join us in this time in a period of reflection and prayer by remaining where you are in your center or in lighting candles as the music continues.
Would please join me in the spirit of prayer and meditation. Spirit of life and love, it would be easy if prayer worked like magic. We could bring our problems or our greatest joys to our inner thoughts and make them happen. But prayer and religion aren't magic. So we would hope that in the midst of our troubles, we can find strength in one another. That when we have joys, they will be doubled by having them in community. Let us find peace where it is unexpected, wonder in the ordinary, and compassion all around us. Amen.
Good morning. It is good to be here today. So, it's one of the most popular things on the internet, and chances are most of us in this room haven't heard of it. But that makes a lot of sense, because it kind of gets its fame from dealing with things that nobody knows about. Every month, over 3 million people visit the website called postsecret.com, and they view what complete strangers have found too intimate to share with anyone else in their lives. This site was voted best blog of 2007, and it regularly appears as one of the most popular websites in the country. It started in 2003 when its founder, Frank Warren, literally had a dream about postcards. A year later, Warren began an art installation in which he went to Washington, D.C. and invited thousands of people to share the most intimate details of their secret lives. He went on the street and handed out these blank postcards, and they had rules for submissions. They're basically the same rules that he uses for the website today. This is from the site. You are invited to anonymously contribute a secret to a group art project. Your secret can be a regret, a fear, betrayal, desire, confession, childhood humiliation. You can reveal anything, as long as A, it's true, and B, you've never shared it with anyone before. So now, in the mail, every single week, Warren gets over 1,000 of these postcards sent to his house, each of which he reads, and every single one of them has the most intimate details of the life of a complete stranger. I started looking at his books and his website and reading the submissions myself, and to tell you the truth, I was really surprised at the range of experiences people were willing to share. The secrets he publishes range from maybe just kind of a humorous childhood memory to experiences of great trauma and even criminal activity. I brought just a few of these examples to share with me today. One individual posted this secret, which I brought because I thought it was really relevant to our context, but I know that no one in this room identifies with it. When other people pray at church, I bow my head and I think about TV programs I want to watch. Like I said, nobody here. Another submission reads like this. I pretend to know French because I'm in love with a girl who does. Many of the cards that are sent to this website reveal the struggle of presenting a false self to the world. One woman sent this in. Sometimes I romanticize my roots, more ethnic, more blue collar, so that I can be more interesting at chic cocktail parties. I am a good liar. Some are even more shocking. Here's this one. Everyone who knew me before 9/11 believes I am dead. Still, many others give voice to the complex emotions that a lot of people don't want to admit. A very recent posting was sent on the back of a picture of an infant in an incubator, and it reads, "After my son was born, I secretly wished that he would die so that I could have my life back. Now, I would give my life if he could live. I never knew I could love someone so much." It's really hard to read some of the postcards that get sent to this website. A lot of them share experiences of violence or abuse or just really, really deep shame. Some of them are vague. They simply say, "I'm sorry," or "I forgive you." Others are surprisingly direct. A recent posting that was sent on the back of a picture showing soldiers going into battle says this, "I will never in my life be as good at anything else as I am at killing people." After reading all of this, though, to tell you the truth, the thing that shocked me the most about reading these cards is how often it's not people's trauma, but people's great joy, the things they're most proud about in their life that are also their biggest secrets. One of my favorite cards says, "Sometimes, secretly, I actually enjoy life." Another hopeful one says this, "I believe I will accomplish something truly great in my lifetime. I'm going to be 53 tomorrow." So what? Why am I bringing these secrets to the table as part of a sermon? Well, it seems to me that one of the biggest secrets I fail to acknowledge in my own life is that there's so much going on underneath the surface of life. As Unitarian Universalists, we're called in our religious tradition to affirm that revelation is not sealed, or basically that we don't know everything yet. When we talk about the big religious questions, it's really easy for us to say that there's more truth to be found. We don't want easy answers. But, even though these are convictions I try to hold strong to in my life, I find that it's almost easier for me to think this way about questions of God or ethics than it is for me to think this way about my friends. I wonder if anybody else has had this scenario in their lives. When I read the secrets of these people's lives splashed up on a screen, it was a reminder to me that people's lives are complex. There's so much going on in the person sitting next to you. So much happening that we will never even know. Warren put it like this on his site. "I have been astonished at the frailty and heroism I find in the secrets of ordinary people like you and me living everyday life." I don't think I'm going out on a limb here when I say that I'm probably not the only person in this room who is really quick to make assumptions about the actions of other people. I can draw conclusions like nobody else. It's not always profound. It's like getting cut off on the highway or a less than ideal situation in a store, or maybe just an offhand remark from a friend. It sounds really simple, and I'm almost embarrassed to present such a cliche thing in a pulpit, but when I try and think about the complexity of the lives of people around me, it radically alters the way I deal with them. When we know we've all got secrets, it changes things. In his essay, Experience, our own Ralph Waldo Emerson once said it like this. Let us treat men and women well. Treat them as if they were real. Perhaps they are. It would be a really easy exercise for me to stand up here in a pulpit and shout off the principles of Unitarian Universalism without thinking of their implications. When I slow down and I read something like our first principle, it's really actually one of the hardest things I could try and live out in my life. Our first principle states that we affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This would be really easy if we were talking about abstract people, but we're not. This means the inherent worth of real people, just as we are. Tired, scared, anxious, inspired, joyful, and sometimes all of the above. It's just too tempting to draw conclusions by what I see in front of me. Life is really quick now. 30 seconds with a cashier, a few moments with a bank teller, emails, text messages. It seems even easier, though, to make these assumptions about people with whom I already think I disagree. As Unitarian Universalist, I don't think that I'm being too presumptuous to say that we've not been immune to the polarity that has infected our country as of late. I am regularly guilty of thinking that I know all I need to know about another person by how they voted in the last election, or the bumper sticker that's on the back of their car. Now, I'm not supposed to do this, right? I'm part of a tolerant, thinking, open-minded community. But I do it all the time. I wonder what it would be like to imagine the people that we meet and have the first question that we ask be, I wonder what your secrets are. I wonder what deep sadness or great joy. I wonder what experiences of shame or what great love has brought you to this place. I wonder what it would be like to treat people as if they were real. So that's a challenge, a pretty big one, to treat other people like that. But to be honest with you, most of the time, I think it's even harder to treat myself like I'm real. I wonder if anybody else has experienced that it's really easy to define themselves in ways that are very simple and not accurate. It is deceptively tempting to think I'm my resume. I often stop and catch myself making this understanding of who I am that is made up of the things I didn't check off a to-do list or the things I haven't accomplished in my life yet. I remember that one mistake or that one criticism I got more than all of the things that went right. There's plenty in our culture that wants to tell you and survives off of telling you that you're not good enough yet. I am happy that we are part of a religious tradition that is not ashamed to say, damn it, you are. You are good enough. We have a long history in this religious movement that says you don't need something outside of yourself. You don't need a religious official. You don't need something outside of this world to tell you that you have value. Universalism's message was that what connects us to life, what is sacred and life-giving in this world, isn't going to leave you because of the mistakes you made. It doesn't matter where you were born or what church you go to or who you love. You have value. There's so much more to who we are. Each one of us lives this really full, complex life. And it's not always easy. This message of Unitarian Universalism can sound really rosy. Radical acceptance, tolerance, justice in this world. It sounds great, but it's not meant to be this set of sugary platitudes. This is meant to be lived in the life of real flesh and blood human beings. Some of the best advice I ever got in seminary was when one of my professors told me I should be writing every sermon thinking that the character Job from the Hebrew Scriptures would be in the congregation listening to it. you know, it hasn't taken me long in training for ministry to realize that he is, that she is, and that we are. We have value in this world. We have value in this community, not in spite of our imperfections and our frailties, but because of the full people we are able to offer to each other. Like in those cards I read, I'm astonished that in our community, sometimes what is most great and profound about us is also our secret, even to ourselves. I think we often forget just how strong we can really be if we have to, how compelling each and every one of our stories would be to another person in need. We can change things. It's time to take yourself seriously. Any religion in this world that's not going to settle for easy answers will call us to see a fuller version of the world and a fuller version of ourselves. And I think we have that in Unitarian Universalism. There's power in coming together in this community. There's so much happening in the lives of all the people here. Just like we don't know what's happening in the lives of strangers, I think that sometimes we don't know what's happening right here. We have a right to take this place seriously. Because we don't just offer the sacrament of coffee after the service. I want to tell you, as someone who's training for the ministry, it's scary to think that what we do might matter. That we could actually make change in the world. Because when I think that, it means we've got a responsibility to make it happen. This movement, made up of imperfect people, all filled with the secrets of life, has the power to do great things. The vision of a radically welcoming spiritual community that wants to build justice in this world, I don't see any reason why we should keep that a secret. It might sound strange, but in some cases, Unitarian Universalism has actually saved lives. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I think it has. The UU minister, Reverend Stephen Jonathan, is fond of telling this story about when he received a letter from a young girl who was a high school senior living in this rural town in Georgia. This was decades ago. Her religious convictions, what she found meaningful in the world, did not at all match what her church was telling her, and it was the only church in town. She thought there was something wrong with her. She thought she was alone. And she was thinking about killing herself. While she was working on a project for school, she stumbled upon the entry for Unitarian Universalism in the encyclopedia. She was actually supposed to be doing a project on the United Nations and challenging what was wrong with it, but she found Unitarian Universalism instead. She wanted to know more about our liberal faith, but she was scared that her family and friends would reject her if they even know she was looking. So she wrote this minister a letter that said, quote, "Please send your pamphlets in a plain, unmarked envelope." When this young woman had opened this letter, she was home. She had found a place where it was okay to be just like she was. She became a Unitarian Universalist. After years of corresponding back and forth with this minister, she finally admitted to him that Unitarian Universalism saved her life, figuratively and literally. Now, the stories of people's lives being changed in a community like this aren't always going to be that explicit, but they're out there. I can tell you from personal experience that my life's path changed radically by just one person inviting me to a UU church. I was shocked when I walked in the door to find that I was invited into a religious community that actually wanted me to question what I heard in church, that wanted me to be just who I was with all of my doubts and questions and fears, that was committed to the idea that no matter what your gender or sexual orientation, your beliefs, whatever, you're welcome here. I was shocked. I was a religion major in college, and I had never heard of Unitarian Universalism. It was a secret. this place and what we can do, they're real. People who are full of hopes and dreams and passion and who are frightened and alone will find that when they come into a Unitarian Universalist church, they'll find people who are a lot like them. But each person's story is unique. We don't have easy answers to offer anyone. There is more truth to be found. But that doesn't mean that we can't start making communities filled with compassion and justice right now, not inhibited by the things that we carry with us every day, but encouraged in knowing that we are not alone. We are not alone. My friends, this faith is also a challenge. It challenges us to reject any easy, simple answer. Any simple answer about other people we meet, about our world, and especially about ourselves. I don't want to promote some kind of rose-colored glass view of the world that says, be nice to everybody. This is a view of the world that says every single part of creation is within every person, and it reflects the variety of all life has to offer. And it's going to be tiring, and it's going to be scary, and we don't know what's happening, and it's going to be beautiful. There is more happening inside others than we will ever know. And there is more potential for greatness inside you, inside me, and inside this place than we're sometimes willing to admit. A religion that's going to change the world is going to meet people just where they are. Let us find compassion in knowing that other people have secrets. Let us find inspiration in knowing that we do too. And let us find a calling in a community that welcomes all within its doors. Let's go ahead and treat others, our community, and ourselves as if they were real. Perhaps they are. If I can borrow from what one of the cards said earlier, I believe we will accomplish great things within this lifetime. So what better time than now? Amen.